Tech-topia. Tektopia er en podcast om mennesker og deres teknologi, udgivet af Ingeniørforeningen IDA i samarbejde med Ugeavisen Ingeniøren, med støtte fra Innovation Center Danmark, Messecenter Herning og IDA Forsikring. Mit navn er Henrik Føns, og det er mig, der bestemmer i Tektopia.
Facial recognition is a weapon. It's a very powerful weapon. And as any other weapon, it can be used, you know, in a civil war, you know. But do you really want to use a weapon in a civil war? So if you start to use facial recognition against the police eventually is going to use it even more against you. And that's actually what is going to happen. So I think we should like consider facial recognition as a weapon. And yes, I mean, if there is a revolution happening, there is a real civil war and it's a revolution to bring back democracy, maybe facial recognition really become useful.
Kan man egentlig opfatte ansigtsgenkendelse som et våben? Ja, det mener den italienske kunstner Paolo Cirio, der har lavet et projekt i Paris, der er en kritik af den brutalitet, som fransk politi udviser ved demonstrationer. Problemet er, at mange af betjentene ikke bærer ID, så demonstranterne kan ikke bagefter identificere, hvem det er, der har optrådt voldeligt over for dem. Det forhold ville Paolo Cirio gerne lave om på, så derfor så begyndte han at bruge ansigtsgenkendelse mod politiet, den samme teknologi, som de brugte til at overvåge demonstranterne med. Men da han så valgte at udstille fotos af politibetjentene, så gik det galt. Hans udstilling blev censureret, den blev simpelthen malet sort.
So they went on the installation and they basically painted over, like they blacked out the entire installation, which was a 14-meter long installation with 150 pictures, like just faces of police officers. And they just covered all of it and it became like a, you know, blank wall, black black wall that covered the entire artwork. And so, yeah, that was censorship. It was censorship from the government, from the French government. It was, you know, because the interior minister of France asked in the tweet, you really like, that's what he was asking. He asked in the tweet that the exhibition had to be removed, you know, that my work wasn't going to be shown. I am Paolo Cirio. I am an artist and an activist, and I am Italian originally, but I've been based in New York, in the United States, for a long while, and I work internationally, so I often have exhibitions and lectures all over the world, and in Europe particularly too. And my focus is mainly internet and society, and so that's why I work a lot around the subjects of privacy and surveillance today. This new project, Capture, is from this year. It was published in October of this year. It is from France.
Hvad er det egentlig for en sag, der driver Paolo Cirio? Det har min kollega Rosa Marie Frank talt med ham om.
They was researching and discovered that in France, facial recognition was already used, and there was even a plan to use it for a national ID on all citizens of France. So that was very, you know, strange to me, because knowing enough about privacy regulations, especially in Europe, I knew that was very strange that that could even be possible. And so then I discovered that in all Europe, actually, facial recognition is not regulated. And so there have been and there are right now uses of facial recognitions in European countries without regulation. So that's why I started to work around this issue of facial recognition in France. And at the same time, as most people know, France has an issue with police and police brutality. And then, so especially in the last past few years, police has been very violent against protesters. And the police is also the agency that really uses facial recognition. And it's also, police is also like that agency, let's say, the body of people that can hide themselves. And in France, I could really see how over the years they were increasingly hiding their face. So here there was definitely some issues about the balance of power, right? Where the police is, you know, allowed to use facial recognition in public space, meaning like doing mass surveillance in public space and especially during protests. And at the same time, they cover themselves to make them unaccountable for what they are doing, and especially for violence, police brutality. And so for the work capture, the process was to collect pictures, public pictures of manifestation, protests that have been happening in France, and just from the internet. So I literally was on Google typing photos of police during a protest in 2019 in Paris. And Google was giving me all those pictures, public pictures, you know, coming from newspapers or coming from citizens that were, you know, even social media, people like posted there on Facebook, they posted the pictures they took. And so I collected 1,000 of those pictures, public pictures, and then also photographers. I contacted photographers, and photographers, they gave me even more pictures. So I had pretty good amount of photos. And then I used facial recognition on those photos. And facial recognition, of course, can find all the faces that are in one single picture. So at the end of this process, I had 4,000 photos of police officers. And so this was a pretty big database of pictures, only pictures. I just had the date and the location of those pictures mainly. And so then to make this provocation, literally just a provocation, artistic provocation, I used these photos to make a website to crowdsource the identity of the police. So basically where people on a website could type the name you know, next to the picture I had. In that way, I could potentially identify all 4,000 photos. And once you have a database where you relate a face to a name, then you can have the biometric data. And so once you have this biometric data related to a name, you can even make an app on your phone and go around the street and try to find this person. You know, you just like take picture or you keep your camera on. And when you see someone that looks like that person, you use that biometric data and you match. You match the photo that you have as archive and the live photos that you have up there. So you basically can track or identify people on the fly directly on the street, which is something the French police is doing. But the citizens have not the right to do it on the police. So this was a very big provocation, and it did generate a lot of reactions, especially from the police themselves. In France, the unions of the police are very powerful and influential. And so I think they were the first reacting to this and say, absolutely, this is not acceptable. It's not even art. They didn't even want to define it as an art project. And they were influential to the point that also the interior minister of France had to tweet about this project, naming my name and my project, and say that saying just by through a tweet, but was enough this tweet just asking to censor my artwork and to stop whatever it was the provocation I was doing. And that was that did manage to stop my exhibition in France and also stop me keeping everything, keep having like published this database of police cases.
So is it, you're saying it is illegal to do what you have done? It is illegal to make this program where you can identify police? Is that illegal in France by law?
So in France, it's also very interesting because they do want to pass a new law that is a very controversial law that would make it legal to identify any police officers if that identification put them in danger. So actually, this law has been pushed for many, many months, and actually just this week is about to pass. We don't know yet because the parliament is debating actually tomorrow. And it's a very controversial law because, of course, journalists, they do want to identify the police. It's not just a question of like citizens that, you know, have been beaten up or stuff like that, which is also a problem. But even journalists would not be able to publish those pictures. And so that's very controversial. And I think France is doing it because they did have a very serious issue of police brutality. And so they are trying to protect the police, and the unions of the police is very influential again.
But can I just ask, when you say that they want to pass a law where it's impossible to identify police, are you saying that the police should not have like a identification number or like...
So in France, there is an identification number. So they need to wear an identification numbers. However, they hide it most often when there is a public confrontation, so in manifestations. So even if they have this ID on them, they try to hide them. And yes, for this specific law, the law is really more about the publication of pictures and identification. Yeah. So it's very unclear, and that's really the controversy about it, because it's very unclear. Of course, they say this law is to protect the police and to not put them in danger. But when is actually that the case? I mean, if a journalist is like doing an investigation about a police officer, they might just go to the journalist's house and look for their name and say, oh, you are actually trying to do something bad to these police officers. You know, but anyway, it's really, it's very tricky, this law, you know, because of course they say, yeah, you cannot identify a police officer because you would, you know, put them in danger. But at the same time, by saying that, you're saying, when are you actually able to do it? And who is going to control that? You know, the same police that don't want to be identifiable. You know, there are many issues in this particular law. The problem is that in France, they want to pass this law to not publish the pictures. So they are using this excuse then that if you publish a picture, you make the police identifiable. So to prevent that, they say journalists shouldn't even publish the pictures of police. And this is already happening because, you know, journalists or like a big outlet is so scared at this point to publish a picture of because of this new law that they started to blur the pictures, the faces of police officers in their articles. And even for this project, there were some newspapers, they did blur the pictures of my artwork because they were so worried to publish the face of a police officer that they did even blur the picture of my artwork. While instead that picture was already public because it was already taken from the internet. But you know, there is like, I think it's kind of confusion, but it's also the fact that, you know, in terms of like freedom of speech, and freedom freedom of the press should be very clear that if a picture is taken in a public space during a public event and is, matter of, public discussion, like, a manifestation, a protest, that's not really private life. That's like a public event. And of course, journalists have the right to take pictures and publish those pictures. And as much as journalists, also artists have the right to use that kind of material. In my particular case, I wanted to make that provocation of identify the police, which it is an invasion of privacy, but the real aim was to make a provocation, to show how easy it is to do that. And I always stated, this is a provocation, I am not going to publish those pictures, those names, really. I am here to protect the privacy. But of course, there was a provocation, so it worked very well because it did scare people and they did think that that was an invasion of privacy. We do know that the police in France has a database of faces, of criminal records. So it's quite a few millions of citizens that have criminal records in France that are in this database. And the police has these cameras with facial recognition software in a few train stations in France and in other public squares and so on. And that facial recognition software can match people from that database of people with the criminal records. And well, criminal records can be anything, can be a small thing as a very dangerous crime or even terrorism if you want. But yeah, so they are already using it. We don't know exactly how they use it, which is the problem with facial recognition when it's used by the police. I mean, the police, of course, they say, oh, we use it only for some people, only in that particular case, but actually once the system is on, the camera is on, is you can live feed, any kind of picture. So you can match, let's say that the police is doing a new investigation and say, why not using this system? And, they just take one picture of you and then they put it in the system and the system is looking for that person in all the cameras that they have. And this is possible because, again, there is not really a solid legal framework. So there should be a very solid legal framework that says the police, if really need this technology, and there might be cases, let's say the last thing they can do is facial recognition. Maybe there is like no other way to identify someone and find someone. There are no witnesses. There is no way to investigate. They really need to use it. But that means to make it legal only in that particular case that are very few, let's say for terrorism, let's say also for terrorism if you want, but can be used only for one investigation to identify only one person that is accused for terrorism, which is very different to say, oh no, the camera should always stay on and we can use it with any investigations that we are running for any kind of investigation we are running. So that's the danger. Until there isn't a very solid legal framework, they can do whatever they want, basically.
The exhibition that you made called Capture, it made such a controversy that it was closed down?
Yes, then the first minister tweet was that influential to block the display of the exhibition of the art installation I had in this public museum in France. It was basically a collage of photos. And then there were two videos, and in the videos there was the documentation of my action. But there were no there was no identification of police at all. It was like all public material, all public visual material. But just the idea that they was doing basically something potentially against the police, that was enough to stop the display of my art. It was a group show, so the exhibition had to open anyway, but my particular installation, which was also the largest installation, was literally covered. It's also a censorship that can be hidden behind national security. So, it's that kind of censorship that they can say, oh, but that was for national security or like for, avoiding terrorism. So it's a very difficult censorship to discuss. There is no practical sense behind it because, of course, you cannot stop people to take pictures of the police. You're not going in France. You're not in China or in Russia. I mean, you're not going to stop journalists to take photos of the police. It is France. In this project, it was me, with my real name, my real face, saying, I am doing this provocation, and it is an art provocation. Tomorrow, it will be someone that does the same thing anonymously, without any name, and eventually they do it really to identify, thousand or more police officers in really invading their privacy. So there is still like a problem here where the politicians or the legislators should say, okay, the police can be identifiable in this way. They cannot cover their face in this situation. They should like show their ID to everyone. The citizens, can take pictures, but they cannot really identify them. Only if they committed a crime, let's say. Facial recognition cannot be used against the police, and facial recognition cannot be used against the protesters. Those are all specific rules that's what we need. We need specific rules that at the end of the day, they're just going to establish more balance of power, and that's what democracy need. It doesn't need like this rhetoric. It doesn't need censorship, meaningless censorship. It just need to like set very precise rules about, especially about technology that is like this invasive, and make it very clear when this technology can be used, who can use it, and make it fair for everyone.
Og det sagde den italienske kunstner Paolo Cirio til Rosa Marie Frang. Der er mere podcast om ansigtsgenkendelse som våben i vores søsterpodcast Tektopia på Radio 4. Her kan du møde en amerikansk aktivist, der har lavet sit eget billedgenkendelsesprogram og en database over voldelige politibetjente. Og så kan du også høre en ekspert fra Institut for Menneskerettigheder tale om sagerne her.
Tektopia.
I denne her uge har vi også modtaget et podkort fra vores kollegaer på Ingeniøren, og podcasten Transformator.
I denne uges Transformator skal vi til søs. Sagen er nemlig, at mens vi igen og igen har talt om elbiler og flyafgifter, når det skulle handle om klima og transport, så er de store skibe holdt sig under horisonten for nu lige at have slået den maritime stemning an. Men skibe er en voldsom klimabelaster, og nu skal der gøres noget ved din fart. Så vi skal tale om tankskibe med sejl, autonome fragtskibe og meget andet godt for havet. Og en lille bonusting for Transformator inden for trafik. Efter at vi for et par uger siden hørte et par af de kommende lyde til elbiler, så har jeg samlet på dem. Og i dag skal vi høre, hvordan det lyder, når de alle sammen starter på samme tid.
Tektopia er slut for denne her gang. Du kan altid finde os på tektopia.dk, og du kan deltage i teknologidiskussionen i vores Facebook-gruppe, der hedder Tektopia Backstage. Du kan følge os på Twitter på @tektopia.dk. Og du kan også følge os på Instagram under navnet Tektopia, sjovt nok. Og så kan du skrive til mig på henriksnabelag@tektopia.dk, hvis du har ris, ros eller gode forslag til ting, vi skal tage fat på. På genhør næste uge.
Tektopia. Tektopia.
Tektopia er en podcast om mennesker og deres teknologi, udgivet af Ingeniørforeningen IDA i samarbejde med Ugeavisen Ingeniøren, med støtte fra Innovation Center Danmark, Messecenter Herning og IDA Forsikring. Mit navn er Henrik Føns, og det er mig, der bestemmer i Tektopia. Tektopia.